the perfect mother for me and my brothers and sisters. And we certainly miss her, and I was sitting there thinking, Anthony had asked me a question about how long I've been preaching. And come back to my mind, it was on Mother's Day, 1992, that I stood before the church and announced that God had called me to preach. And I said, the only regret I've ever had is that God called me to preach before my mother passed, but I never answered the call. But I'm sure that there's blessings that she has. They're far beyond I could ever realize in this life. Right. And looking forward to the day that we do get to see her again. Yeah. And Brother Melvin was talking about there, I often think about it. My mother was always the last one to eat. And when she did, she ate out of a saucer. Mm-hmm. And I always thought that's why she was a small woman. She wasn't a big woman. She was stood about 4'11", weighed about 95 pounds, which is a lot. But everything in my mom's life revolved around my dad. And the children. It was never about her, anything about her. Never wanted it to be about her. But she was a wonderful wife, a fantastic mother, and thank God for the mother I had. If you have your Bibles with you, take with us the book of Matthew, chapter 15. Matthew, chapter 15. Of course, if you're able to stand, we ask you to stand in the honor of God's Word, not for us or anyone else, but for God's Word. Matthew chapter 15, go down to verse 21 if you would. You there, say amen.
Amen.
Not there yet, say hold on. Praise the Lord. It says, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Most what we have in this passage of Scripture, this miracle in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, is one of the greatest examples of the faith of a mother. We know that faith is important. And if you're here today and you're saved, that's the only way you're saved. Faith is the key, it's the very element of our salvation. The Scripture tells us we're saved by grace through faith. It's the gift of God, not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. The reason that we're able to persevere and continue on in this Christian life is because of faith. Scripture tells us that we're kept by the power of God through faith. So we see that faith is important. And Jesus spoke of faith many times, stressed the importance of faith. And we also see in the Word of God that victorious living in this life is only possible through faith. Listen to what John said in 1 John. He said, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Jesus himself said, if thou can believe, all things are possible to he that can believe. We also see that we must have faith in our prayer life. We know that it takes faith for our prayers to reach the throne of God. It takes faith for our prayers to be answered. It takes faith for us to see God's hand in action. And that's why the Bible tells us, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. We also know, as we read over there in that great hall of faith, chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, we're told about a man there that pleased God. And he pleased God so much that one day God took him. And it tells us right after that, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them which diligently seek him. One of the greatest examples, I believe, that we have in the Scriptures, I said, in the ministry of Christ, is what we read to you today in this passage of Scripture. And what we see here is the Bible tells us Jesus was, during his ministry, was traveling and he had departed unto the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. Now the Bible tells us as he was traveling, or as he was on this journey, that there was a woman that came to him. Now Matthew tells us that she was a woman of Canaan. Mark tells us that she was a Syrophoenician woman. And sometimes we wonder, well, how come the different descriptions or the different wording when we read the different Gospels? And sometimes it depended upon the audience unto whom they were writing. Matthew here was writing to a Jewish audience. And for them to fully comprehend and understand the magnitude of what Jesus was going to do here, he pointed out the fact that she was a woman of Canaan. Now, what this meant to the Jews was they went all the way back. Folks, when God brought them out of Egypt during the Exodus, and he sent them on their journey to the Promised Land, and when they were coming into the Promised Land, there were groups there that they were to kill, they were to wipe out, and they were to take ownership of the land of Canaan, the Promised Land. And one of those groups or peoples there were Canaanites. And he's saying this woman here was a descendant of the Canaanites, an enemy of God's people, an enemy of Israel. And as I said, wanting to drive that point across, just how great it was of what Jesus was getting ready to do here. The Jews had nothing to do with their enemies. Anybody that was non-Jew was considered inferior, was considered subpar. We even see, as we get over here in just a minute, by the reaction of the disciples, to them, they look at them really as nobody. But yet we see this woman, and she makes her way to Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us there the reason that she came, she had a great problem. And as she approached Jesus there, it says that she came out on the coast, and she cried unto him and said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil."
Right.
Now when you look at what this woman's condition was, her daughter had a problem. And when the daughter had a problem, guess what? Mommy had a problem. And this was a problem of great concern, as the scripture tells us there. She was grievously vexed with the devil. Now to understand the depths of this problem and just how serious it was, we need to understand exactly what this means. Now, you look that word grievously up, and I did for you. I did for myself. But the word grievously means serious, grave, or severe. So the condition that she had, it was a serious condition, it was a grave condition, and it was a severe condition. Well, what else does it tell us about her problem? She was grievously vexed. Now, what does the word vexed mean there? Vexed means tormented, troubled, distressed, plagued, and worried. Now think about that. Here's a woman that comes to Jesus, and she says, "My daughter has a need. I believe that you're the only one that can meet that need, and that she has this serious, severe problem that she is just overcome." Folks, she is tormented and troubled by the devil. Now you think about that just a minute. Could you imagine the life that this young lady had? We read in the scriptures about others that were possessed by demons. Now there was the man that lived among the tombs that what? He cried out day and night. He lived in the graveyard. They would try to shackle him and put fetters on him, but every time they did, he would break them loose. He would rip his clothes off. Nobody could contain him. Nobody could control him. And his life was out of bounds, folks, until Jesus came along and gave him. And after he met Jesus, you know what the Bible says? He was sitting clothed and in his right mind. Then we read about a young man, or the father that brought his son to the disciples there and said he is vexed, or not vexed, but possessed with the demon. He even throws himself into the fire. And folks, when you think about somebody that has that type of severe problem, especially a child, that they can't control it, there's something else controlling them. It really works at the heart of the mother. Now, no doubt, listen, it would work at the heart of the father as well. You know, we fathers, we love our children. We try to help our children, but I may say that, I'll say in most instances, I'm not going to say every instance, but in most instances, the father doesn't have the heart for the children that the mother has. And I don't mean that as an insult, folks. I can say that about myself this morning. But when we see the father and the mother and the love that they have for their children, you see, I grew up in that era when you got hurt and you maybe even broke a bone, all dad was said was, "Get up, walk it off." I grew up in an era where when you got hurt, you didn't cry. And when you did, you got made fun of. Folks, I honestly, in all of my life, I think the only time I ever saw my dad shed tears was when my mother died. I think that's the only time I've seen a tear come out of the man's eye. But yet I knew that he loved me, but there's just a different love from a mother than there is from a father. A mother will go all the way. She won't quit. She won't give up. She'll give herself 100%, sacrifice herself for her children. But you got to think about it. That mother has known that child since it was first conceived in that woman. And as it grew and developed inside her and began to kick and began to move and was born into this world and came out, there's a special connection and a special bond there, folks, between a mother and a child that the father doesn't have. Even though they're part of us, even though we love them, as I said, even unconditionally, but yet that love of a mother. And here was a mother that was so distraught, I believe with all my heart, as she watched her daughter that couldn't control herself, that was possessed by the demons. She wanted to do anything that she could to get help. And she heard maybe somewhere down the line that Jesus is down the street.
That's right.
And when she heard that Jesus was down the street, no doubt hearing of his miracles, no doubt hearing of the power that he has, she thought within herself, now I'm thinking here, we're not told this in the scripture, so you can take it or leave it, but thinking about how a mother would be and the heart that she would have. You're here today, and your mother is a godly mother. You don't know the times, but she's cried out to the Lord. My daughter has a problem. My son has a problem. When no answer came, she would dig in, pray a little stronger, pray a little louder. Dig a little deeper, calling your name out to the Lord and asking for help for you. Even to the point willing to take your problem upon herself. Even to the point willing, Lord, whatever it takes that you have to do to me, please help my child. That's a heart of mother. And more than any situation, when that godly mother is praying for the salvation of her child, oh, they cry out the much more. Because you see, they know and they realize that one of these days this life is going to be over. Because the only hope that we have beyond this life is in Jesus Christ. Mothers here today that you're not saved, you're not serving the Lord. The greatest thing you can do for your children is to give your heart to Jesus. To begin to be an example and to show them the things of the Lord. You say, well, preacher, too late now. I've gone too far and I've waited too long. It's never too late. Everything that's in the past needs to be forgotten about and start today. Thank you.